Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you, praise team, for that. It's really beautiful. Before we open God's Word, let's just pause and pray to Him first. Lord, we thank You for the beauty of this day. Father, we thank You for the words that we just sung and spoke and thought about. And Lord, they are so true, how You love us beyond what we deserve. Lord, You sent Your Son for each of us. And yet some are ended and some are not saved, as Your prophet said. Lord, we pray that as each of us have gathered on this day, Father, we pray that our hearts would be pure, for You know our hearts. You know our needs. You know our intents. You know everything about us. And we gather here today, Father, and may there may be many reasons on our hearts we're here today, but Father, may there be one chief reason, and that is to glorify You. For You alone are worthy of our praise for what You've done and what You do, and who You are. Lord, so we are thankful for Your Word. We ask You would bless it, and we pray that as Your Word goes forward, that You would change lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is this on? Okay. Back to school. Some of you aren't looking so hooray about back to school. I chose some scripture this morning that I thought would be appropriate for some of you that are going back to school. And I want to challenge some of you that are going back to school with it. But I'm also going to challenge us as parents, us as grandparents. I want to challenge each of us in this morning. I've said this before, and others have said this. This morning, I want you to have the mirror out and look at yourself. Look at your own heart in this morning hour. And as the psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." I want you to have that mirror out, not be thinking about others, thinking about yourself this morning. I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. In your pew Bible, it's page 524 in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. The context, the background of this chapter, you can maybe quickly look, if you look at the first verse, though we're not going to cover the first verse. "Listen, my son, to a father's instruction," it says in the NIV that I have up here. And if you jump to verse 20, which is where we're going to cover or start this morning, "My son, pay attention to what I say." These are the words of a father to his children, a father who wants to impart some wisdom. The father is Solomon, the wisest man on earth. And of course, we know that scripture is given by inspiration. It's God-breathed. It comes from the Holy Spirit. So though it's written by Solomon, this is instruction from the Holy Spirit. This is instruction from God to us as children. And the topic of this chapter, and especially the section of verses I want to cover this morning, is wisdom. Wisdom, being wise. You know, those of us who are fathers, or mothers for that matter, I think many of us have said that we always want our children to be better off than we are. And I don't necessarily mean financially, though some may take it that way. We want our children to be wiser, make better choices. We can look back at our past perhaps and see time we squandered, or perhaps choices we've made, and we always say, "I want our children to do better. I want our children to be wiser." And I see the heart of this father in this chapter and the wisdom being passed along. I don't know of any father or mother that says, any godly father or mother that says, I hope my children are just as godly as me, as I am. When we really look at our hearts and the mistakes we made, we say, I want my children to be more godly than I am. Do we not? And that's the heart of this text in front of us this morning. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. We want our families to be wise. We want them to be God-fearing. So I'm going to cover Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27. I put the outline of those verses in front of you here for a second, just to give it to you. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27 says, its outline is, pursuing wisdom, which is pursuing godliness. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you're pursuing wisdom, you're pursuing godliness by, one, guarding your heart, two, guarding your mouth, three, guarding your eyes, and four, guarding your walk. Really, the key to this one is item one, guarding your heart. Two, three, and four are really sub-points, but guarding your heart. I'm going to say it a lot this morning. Guard your heart. It's really the key, because our heart defines our whole. Scripture also says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So ways we guard our heart are to watch what we say, to watch what we see, to watch where we go, to guard our hearts. How's your heart this morning? Is it guarded? Let's read along here in Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. The Bible reads, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health unto all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. May God bless the reading of His Word. Those are eight short verses that I read in the King James. I'd like to reread them in the NIV. It says, my son, and you can reread if you have the King James or others. It's very similar. But I want to have you, as you've read it once now, maybe you can sit back and think about the words, especially the NIV words. Listen to this father. He says four times now in the beginning of this verse, or beginning of these verses, my son, pay attention to what I say, he says. Pay attention. Number two, listen closely to my words. Number three, do not let them out of your sight. Number four, keep them within your heart. The father saying, pay attention four times over. And I love how NIV says it. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Above all else, guard your hearts, it says. These verses command it to guard your hearts. Guard my hearts above all else. So the question is, how are you doing with guarding your heart this morning? It says above all else. Above all else, are you guarding it? I think each of you have done this, or you've lost something, you go looking for something, and you come across something that you've weren't looking for, but you perhaps forgot you even had, or you lost long ago and you thought was long gone. And that happened to me this past week. I have a file cabinet where I keep, in one drawer I keep important papers, house documents, and so forth. In the other drawer I keep what I call keepsakes. It's comprised mainly of notes from my children, birthday cards, things that are a real treasure chest, if you will, to me, that I like to go through every now and then. I wasn't in that drawer. I was in the drawer for the loan papers and stuff like that, looking for something. And at the bottom of this drawer, I found something that was supposed to be in the other drawer that I thought was long gone. And I came across, and I was happy to find it because I always wondered what happened to it. And it was a gift that Carol, your dad, gave me, Brother George Pavko gave me many years ago, almost 17 years ago. He gave me a little gift with a note on it. It was just a few weeks before the Christmas of 1996. Curtis had just been born. And it was actually his first week that we brought him to church. And Uncle George, as we called him, Brother George, came up to me and gave me this gift. And with a note on it, I'll read you the note. It says, this is Uncle George saying, Brother George Pavko, "When my first boy was born, I told the doc, I need a lock. He said, what for? I said, to lock my tools. He said, same to you. Having your first son, you need a lock to lock your tools. Uncle George Pavko, have a nice Christmas, 1996. So he gave me a lock to lock my tools. Because sons, I guess, get into tools and take them. We guard this stuff that we really value, don't we? Maybe it is a tool chest. We guard our cars, our houses. We've got deadbolts. We've got alarm systems. We've got all the like. I know some that have camera systems where you can be halfway around the world and you can get your iPhone out or your smartphone and you can pull up live pictures in your own house of things going on in your house because you're guarding your house and you're protecting your house. We guard the things of value, do we not? We don't want thieves and robbers to steal our stuff, right? We put deadbolts on stuff. This text says, this text commands to guard our hearts. Why? Because we have an adversary. We have an adversary who seeks whom he may devour. Who seeks whom he may destroy. We have the devil who wants to tear apart lives. It says he seeks whom he may devour. He doesn't casually stumble across. He seeks out individuals whom he may devour. That's our adversary, and that's why we have to have guarded hearts. Is your heart guarded from the adversary? Is my heart guarded? He wants to take our most valuable possession. Fooey on the tools or the car or the house. What about your heart? Is your heart secure? We know that we're in a battle for our hearts. If you don't know, you're fooling yourselves. We're in a battleground. Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil." Our adversary is looking for those who don't have the deadbolt on the heart. For those that left the door slightly open. He's searching out for the little lambs that are weak, the ones that have gone astray a little bit. He's on the prowl. You know, our adversary, he's very overt with his ways, but yet he's very subtle with his ways. We know that from Scripture. We know that from experience. The Bible says, for Satan himself, 2 Corinthians 11:14, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. If he masquerades as an angel of light, how are you going to guard that? How are you guarding that if he masquerades as an angel of light? In a society that's becoming more and more perverse, where right is wrong and wrong is right, right? When relationships that we see, relationships that were strong, marriages that were strong are ripped apart. Satan is at attack. Guard your heart above all things, for out of it flow the very issues of life. Our hearts need to be a fortress, a Fort Knox, a citadel against the evil one. If you want, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. I didn't put all these on the on these screen, I apologize, but 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe it. Verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into this world. That was 2,000 years ago. What about now? Many false prophets have gone out. So, should we be surprised in this day and age where we have false prophets have gone into the world? We need to guard our hearts against the teachings that are false, that are contrary to God's word. To effectively guard one's heart, just like we need to effectively guard anything of our possessions, we need to know our heart. You know what the Bible says about our heart? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Does that verse surprise you? Do you agree with that verse when it comes to your heart, to my heart? Or is that somebody else's heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, though we have, may have a good side of our hearts, each of us have the propensity to do evil, and we do do evil. That evil comes out, and that shows that this verse is true. If you don't think that's true, come and see me. The core of our hearts are rotten and deceitful. That's why we need saved, we need a transformation, and we need sanctification, right? We need saved, we need a transformed heart, or there's no hope, but we need sanctified hearts. Listen to what the psalmist, he asked the same question, how do we keep our hearts pure? How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Or how can we guard our hearts? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Or thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, in the King James that many of you memorized. Read that again. How do you guard your hearts? How does a young person stay on the path of purity? How does an old person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Why do we preach and teach and plead over and over to be in God's Word? Because it is so foundational. It's so fundamental. It's so necessary to keep the enemy at bay. It's so needed. It should be the first thing that we go to. If you are not in God's Word on a regular basis, you are a prime candidate for the deceiver's attack. He seeks whom he may destroy, being God's word. Being God's word. If you're pursuing a relationship and you're not pursuing God and you're not in God's word, you're in danger. You're in big danger. Pursue God. Pursue a relationship with God, and the relationships outside that will follow. Don't reverse those. Above all else, guard your heart. Also turn with me to Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Did you get that? It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. It judges our attitudes, our thoughts, our intents. That's why we need to be in God's word, to make sure our motives are pure, that they're right. It's how we guard our heart, by being in God's word. Guard your heart. I said one way, but item number two, one way to guard your heart is to guard your mouth. Proverbs 4:24, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Do you know that your mouth is the barometer of your heart? Do you know that? Your mouth is the barometer of your heart. Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It displays the condition of our heart, our mouths do. It reveals the condition of our heart. Think about that. As your mouth is, as your tongue is, what you say, that's the condition of your heart. Remember what Jesus said? He says, it's not the things that go in that defile the man, it's the thing that comes out of the man, because what comes out of the man is coming from the heart. So the mouth is the barometer of our heart. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, telling us how important words are to our Lord, he said, every idle or every careless word that men shall speak, that we will give an account in the day of judgment. Because our words show our heart. So let me ask, how's your heart? Has it changed now that I said that the mouth is a barometer of your heart? How are your words? Are there hurtful things that come out? Are there lying things that come out? Gossip? Slander? Grumbling, complaining, moaning, exaggeration. The tongue is a powerful thing. It's a sermon in itself, and you know that. Tongue is a barometer of our hearts. How are you guarding your hearts? How's your tongue? You know, the tongue is so powerful. In Proverbs it says, the tongue has the power of life and of death. Think about that. It's true. The tongue has the power of life and death. So this is the barometer to this. So how's this in your life? And is this reflecting it? So I'm going to talk about the eyes. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. If our mouth is the barometer of our hearts, our eyes are what fuels our hearts. Got that? Mouth the barometer, our eyes are what fuels what's in here. It's our eyes that get us easily and quickly into trouble. I don't know if you can see that picture. My point is not to say that everything that's on TV is garbage, or everything that's in front of you on the internet is garbage. That's not the case. It sure is the case in a lot of instances, is it not? I'm not saying the banned TVs or internet. But and no one would argue, you know this, that our culture, our media, continue year after year to push the limits of what's shown on TV. Do they not? Limit of what's said. Even 20 years, things said 20 years ago compared to what's said now. 20 years ago, people would be appalled at what's on TV. We didn't have internet back then, or very little. It's appalling. It's shocking. Our media and our culture in this day and age, they're trying to draw our hearts away from God. Be careful, little wise, what you see. Right? Be careful what you see, because you need to guard your hearts. We spend so much time in front of TV or the computer or smart devices or whatever they are. Be careful. There's so much junk that does go in front of that. No one here would argue that that's untrue. No one, even at work, pagan work people that I'm around that are ungodly, they would say the same thing, that junk is out there. It's partly why I challenged my family to, let's think about taking one day a week. We talked about the Sabbath this morning. Let's take one day a week. Let's have a fast. Let's have a Sabbath from entertainment, from the internet, from TV. Let's take one day a week. You know, when you go away to camp, you're away from most of that, except for your smart devices. I know you're not away from all of it, but it's so good to go away to camp and be immersed with other believers and be away from some of that junk that's just out there. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's so much there. Guard your hearts. You know, it was Eve's eyes, right, who lusted after that fruit in the garden. And it was David's eyes who lusted after Bathsheba, right? It's our eyes that get us into trouble. It's that second glance, as that song goes, that gets us into trouble, that gets you and I into trouble. It's that second glance that changed history because of a second glance that led to lust, that led to someone being tempted, that led to sin. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. Jesus said, if you look lustfully on a woman, you've committed adultery already in your heart, because the heart is what God looks at. And it comes from the heart. The heart is what matters. That's why Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Because the heart is deceitful. So we need to, I like how the NIV says, fix your gaze directly in front of you. I like in Hebrews 12:2 it says, fix your gaze upon whom? Upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So one, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your mouth. Guard your eyes. Guard your walk. How's your walk? Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Lastly, watch where you go. Watch whom you go with. Be careful who you walk with. 2 Corinthians 6:12, if you want to turn there with me. Bible says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what do fellowship have, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Do not be yoked with unbelievers. We know the Bible warns us about that. The picture, we don't see oxen yoked much unless you go down to Amish country, but it's a picture of two ox having this thing strapped between them so they can plow in a straight line, right? And if you're yoked together with an unbeliever in a certain situation, marriage, the Bible forbids that a believer marry an unbeliever, right? It doesn't work. They're going in opposite directions. Be careful who you form associations with. I'm not saying that we avoid the unbelievers. Don't twist my words or misconstrue them. What I'm saying is, don't be yoked with unbelievers so that they draw you down the wrong path. To guard your walk. Who do you get advice from? Is it godly advice that you get it from? Is it a godly person that you get advice from? Who influences you? Are they godly people? That's the important thing. Are they people that are taking your heart astray? Where are your feet going right now? Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Follow Jesus. I've mentioned the song a few times. "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go." That's my challenge to each of you this morning. Guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. Your mouth is your barometer. Your feet, or your eyes, are what feed it. Your feet. Be careful where you go with your feet. Our enemy does not rest. Guard your heart, young people. I want to extend to the adults, the parents, and the grandparents an additional challenge. We need to guard our own hearts in addition to guarding the hearts of our children, of our families. Who wrote this in Proverbs? I already told you earlier, but who wrote this? Solomon, right? Very wise. Very good advice. You know who wrote this? "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old he will not depart from it." Again, godly wisdom towards children. Solomon wrote this. Solomon's advice was to guard your heart. Solomon's advice was to protect children, to guard their hearts as well. I think many of us know what happened to Solomon. "As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites." Can you imagine, as I'm reading this? Here's this man who just wrote to guard our hearts, and here he is following the Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites, in his older age. "So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had done. On the east hill of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. As Solomon grew older, he didn't pursue godliness." He didn't guard his heart, he didn't guard his mouth, he didn't guard his eyes, he didn't guard his walk. His actions, when you see this, the detestable god of the Ammonites, Moloch, his actions actually brought about the pagan worship of sacrificing children in a fire. Can you imagine? Solomon, because his heart was not guarded, that he was so self-indulgent, he was so self-sacrificed, self-centered, I'm sorry, that he even got to sacrificing to where children were sacrificed. I want you to contrast that with Job as we wrap up here. Here's a man, if you read a few verses earlier, he feared God, he hated evil. It says, and it was so when the days of their feasting was gone about, that's his children, that's Job's children, and rose up, I'm sorry, that their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. As a father here, you have Job, he's saying, you know, just in case my children have sinned, just in case their hearts are not right with God, maybe they've even cursed God, just in case, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to do it continually, it says, and I'm going to offer sacrifices for my children. Parents, that's who we should be. As our children go off to school, as our children go off wherever, as we lose perhaps the sphere of influence that we had as they grow older and older and they go off into the workplace and so forth, our job's not done. Our job's to be a Job and to continually offer them up in prayer. We have that responsibility to, above all else, guard your heart. You know, we can't guard... This is an obvious statement, but I'll say it anyhow. We can't guard the hearts of our children or our families if we don't guard our own hearts first. So that's the challenge to me, the challenge to you, to above all else, guard your hearts. Parents, grandparents, guard your heart. You can't guard your children unless your heart's guarded first. But guard your children too, just like Job did. May God bless these few words to our hearts. I'd like to call up the worship team, I guess, Roland.